Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? My name is Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully, and today is December 15th, approximately 11 a.m., and today I do debut my morning show, the Pete Richardson Morning Show. Sore presents the Pete Richardson Morning Show. Now, how sweet is that? Now, that's pretty sweet right there. That's the end goal. I've been working very hard for her, and that's the name that kind of came to me. And I'm going to stick with it and run with it. And also, I got another. Well, first, I got two things. The first thing, I'm interviewing former Texas Tech sociology professor. I was really lost back in the days from 06 to 08, and I ended up after working out and before practice, ended up going to class, and I never even thought about sociology. Never thought about it, never really knew anything about it. But once I got up in it, I was all about it. I was raising my hand, answering questions. We had an awesome discussion. And then this lady, the next day, the lady asked, "Where's that black guy with that fitted cap on?" And of course, I was late. And then my roommate was like, "Oh, Pete, he'll be here in a minute. We just got through working out." So I came to class, she immediately took me to a next room and closed the door and was like, you're a very bright young man. Do you understand the knowledge that you have and willing to give other people?" And then she said she's from Jinx, Oklahoma. I said I'm from Muskogee, Oklahoma. And from there, she said she's going to be my grandma. So that's who I'm interviewing today on Saving Athletes Respectfully, the Pete Richardson Morning Show. She's going to call in about 10 minutes. And the other thing I got for you guys, I got the newest member, Brittany the weather today. I got the newest member to the Richardson family. Her name is Sabrina Hewlett, but about to be Sabrina Richardson in a couple months. Brittany the weather. And she's actually on the line right now. Hey, Sabrina, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, well, go ahead and give Lubbock, Texas, and also around the way of the world, the weather that's happening in Lubbock today.
All right. Well, good morning and God bless everybody. It is a beautiful day out here in Lubbock, Texas. It's a little cool at 38 degrees, but it is sunny out. High was 57, low of 33. It feels like 47 out here. And tonight it's going to be around 33 degrees, but mostly clear skies. So go ahead and go out there and enjoy the weather. Take a coat with you. And make sure to wear some jeans.
Okay, y'all heard that. Make sure you wear some jeans. Or if you got some sweats, make sure you wear those too. Well, all right, that's Miss Sabrina Hewlett, about to be Sabrina Richardson. This is her first day being on the air, so you guys take it easy on her. Y'all can see her smile right now. Ooh, boy, I'll tell you. Well, but it's all, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So with that being said, if you find yourself right now feeling down and out, feeling like you just don't want to go on, like, it's okay. It's all right. Spend some time to yourself. Call the people who feel like that are behind you. Or for this might be a time where you feel like who's not behind you. So those are the people you don't want behind you as well. So no matter what you've done, what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So sit down by yourself, reflect by yourself, then reflect with the ones who you know that's behind you. Then come up with a plan, find out what you love, and you stick with that plan. And you put God first, and you keep doing it, and then you can do it. No matter what. Anyway, which brings me to this. How can you be happy? You know, how can you live a happy life? How do you find contentment? I'll tell you what. A lover of silver will never be satisfied with silver, nor a lover of wealth with income. Now that's deep right there. So if you're in love with the money and then you end up getting the money, you ain't gonna be happy. Whose fault is that? Nobody but yours. Because because money is not evil, but it's the love for the money is what's evil. You got a man out there that who's trying to be successful, and sometimes you got people that are selling their soul. You got people that are turning on their best friend. You got people that have killed their parents. You got people that have killed their grandparents just for the love of money, because they think actually money will make you happy, but ultimately money won't make you happy. You got to be happy with yourself before you can be happy with somebody else, or before you can make somebody else happy. Like for instance, like if you're in a relationship, right, and you base your relationship off of pride and possessions instead of love and affection, right? So it's just like, yo, baby, we're going to get married as soon as we get some money. Well, baby, we're gonna be happy as soon as we get this Benz. Or, baby, we're gonna be good once we get that big house. But then as soon as you get that Benz, you get that big house, and then you get some money, then you want to be married, then you find out that you guys still having the same relationship as you did because you think that you can make your relationship off of private possessions instead of love and affection. So with that being said is don't let the outside world influence you of what you got to do before you get married. Don't let the outside world make you feel like you're not nothing and you're belittled because you don't have a Benz and don't have a big house. If you got love and affection, then sky's the limit to the direction. With that being said, man, like as you can tell, man, that's really driving me right there. That's a passion that I can actually give Linda K the credit for. But on the line right now, I got a youth minister straight up out of Arkansas, Stephen Ivey. If you guys listen to the show, he calls in every day at 11:15 a.m. Blessings the show. So we can continue the show. So, Mr. Ivey, I'm gonna go ahead and bring you on so you can go ahead and bless the world right now. Hold up, give me 1 second. All right, Mr. Ivey, you there, my man?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you, man. How's your day going?
It's going pretty good, pretty good.
That's what's up. You have a good weekend?
I did, man. It was a busy weekend, but a great weekend at that, man. Really great weekend.
Yeah. I could see that while I was just checking out your Facebook a little bit. Kind of elaborate on the things that you were working on this weekend and with the different pastors or whatnot.
Say that again.
I said, kind of tell us about your weekend, about like what was going on with the different pastors or whatnot.
Yeah, man. What I do two things. I'm a youth pastor at my church, and then I'm also a musician. I'm heavy in music, and so this particular weekend. We did a bunch of churches that fellowship with our church. We did a big Christmas musical, Christmas service, a Christmas program this weekend. And I just had the opportunity of leading all the choirs, taught the choirs, and led the band and stuff like that, man. It was a really good experience, man. People from this west corner in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
So how you feel about the drive behind the Christmas program, or this was something that they do yearly? It's something that we do yearly. This was our second year doing it. We did it last year, and it was pretty good last year. I kind of did the same thing, assisted heading it up, and then we did it this year, and I think this year we just took it to another level.
Oh, that's what I like to see, man. Progression is always the best. Taking it to the next level. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you got the floor. Go ahead and bless us with your message today. And it's all you, baby.
Hey, so in the Bible, Proverbs is known as the Book of Wisdom. Proverbs is 30 to 31 chapters. Just full of small little tidbits that if you ever read it, you would gain so much wisdom. And in Proverbs, 23rd chapter and the first part of that 7th verse, it says something very profound that everybody ought to remember in their life. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's for a woman too. As a woman thinks in her heart, so is she. But with, the Bible just says he, and that's anonymous for anybody. That's for everybody. And today I want to draw correlation between your actions and your thoughts. And if you show me your actions, I'll show you your thoughts. Because all actions are thoughts. Our thoughts are nothing more than action in seed form. Every action that we do started with a thought. Whether good or bad, it all started and came from our mind and how we think. And most of the time, half of the battle in anything that you do that you're going to want to be successful in, half of the battle that you're going to have to fight, and maybe even 75% of that battle that you're going to have to fight, is dealing with your mind and your own thinking. You talk to any successful person, anybody that's doing anything worth looking at, and there was always some type of mind battle that they had to fight. And for those that overcame it, they found success. I was watching this interview with Will Smith, and Will Smith was asked the question, what do you need to be successful? And Will Smith gave two things. He said reading and running. Reading and running. And those seem like two crazy ingredients for success. But he said the library is full of books with dead men and dead women with their wisdom in it. The library is full of wisdom from people who have lived successful lives who are now dead. And he said if you can ever go to the library and read their wisdom and gain their knowledge for what they wrote, you'll find the first step to success. But then he said something secondly. He said it's running. He said when you run, and all of us, Pete, we all did this in sports, no matter how much you got to run, there's always a time in your running, whether it's long distance or a whole bunch of short distance running, sprints and things, in your mind there's always a voice that says quit, stop, you've gone too hard, you've done too much. Okay, don't do anymore. And Will Smith said, if you can ever beat that small voice in your head that tells you to stop, that same voice that tells you to stop running is that same voice that will come back to you to try to discourage you from doing and going after your dreams and going after the things that you want to do in life. So reading and running, and it's all based on how you think. We learn this, Pete, as kids. And I tell you how we learned it, because most of us know about the story about the little engine that could. And long story short, that little engine had a job to get another train over the mountain through a hard destination, and there was no other train that would do it, and this small little engine that probably was an impossible thing for him to do, he said, three words, I think. I think I can. Four words. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And we know with the little engine that could, the more he said, I think I can. I think I can. He finally found himself doing it. So my words to everybody that's listening today is that your thought, get your thinking right. If you find yourself not succeeding in something in life, get your thinking right. It's all about your thinking. That's the first step. So that's all I have for you. Get your thoughts right.
Get your thoughts right. That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Ivy. Mr. Ivy, youth minister out of Arkansas, he said, get your thoughts right. He gave two, he quoted Will Smith, get your thoughts right, and read and run. So once you sit up in the library up in your house and you read it, then you collect the thoughts of people who are great, then you start running with those ideas. Well, all right, Mr. Ivy, it's really been my pleasure. Feel free to stay on the line if you want to continue or maybe want to ask some questions or whatnot. Like, it's okay. That's fine with me. But I just had Ms. Larrabee, former Texas Tech professor, sociology professor, excuse me. Ms. Larrabee is on the line. How are you doing, Ms. Larrabee?
I'm well, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Oh, can I call you Ms. Larrabee? Or do I have to call you Linda Kay?
You can. You have to call me Linda Kay.
There we go. Well, all right, you guys. Linda Kay is a former Texas Tech professor. So she taught sociology, one of those intro to marriage, diversity class, intro to sociology, you name it. you call it, you name it, she was right there sitting on top of the desk, not looking like a normal professor. She has a do-rag sitting on the table, swinging her feet with some sandals on. And you come in there and you got to be ready to learn and speak the truth. And here's some different stuff about the way that you were raised. So all right, Ms. Linda K., I'm going to take it easy on you, okay?
Thanks, Pete.
All right, good deal. First and foremost, we can go ahead and just let the audience let you know, like, where you from and a little bit about the journey that led you up to Texas Tech.
Okay, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Raised in Oki until I was about 30, moved to Texas in 78, and spent about 35 years there. During that period of time, at 40, I started college. I walked on a college campus for the first time at 40, and I was scared, and I thought I couldn't do it, and people had told me that I couldn't do it, and yet, I did. It took me a long time and a lot of studying, but then I ended up teaching at Tech, which turned out to be my dream job. I loved it. So I was fortunate. I was in the right place at the right time. I also believed things would get better. I think the positive thinking is huge.
I completely agree, because positive thinking is huge. That's one thing we always had in common, just my positivity about life and not really wanting to give up or bend in or fold, and with you going through your life and then walking onto a college campus at 40, like you, for the audience out there, think about how old you are right now, and think about where you thought you would be with your life.
Yes,
so,
exactly. I'm 67.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm 67.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's my whole point. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So for the audience, think about how old you are and think about where you are. If you're not where you wanted to be at this age, that's okay. Just keep the faith, keep going, because you're going to end up getting there. So if before Ms. Linda K. turned 40, if she would have gave up, she wouldn't have been touching the lives that's from myself and other people around the world who actually end up going to Texas Tech. So with that being said, Linda K., you said you always believed things will work out, right?
I think that it may not. Yes, you don't necessarily believe that it's going to work out just the way you want it to, but that it's going to work out for the best. Yes, I do.
Yes, I completely agree. It might not go the way you planned, but they say, you know what they say about the Lord, he might not come when you call, but he's always on time.
Exactly.
So tell us, Linda K., when you first walked onto that college campus, you said you were scared. People said that you wouldn't be able to do it. So, like, how were you able to do it? Like, you had to make sure your foundation was right so you can go to school, or you just kind of shied away from your family life and focused straight on academics, you know? So how could somebody pursue their dreams or pursue their college education while they are in their later years in life?
One class at a time. You go to class, you listen, you sit in the front, even if you look like a dork, and you raise your hands, you ask questions, you just do it one step at a time. And you can't think, oh, my gosh, this is going to take me 15 years. You've just got to go, I'm going to get through this semester. And I think that's true for athletes. When they walk on a campus and go to their first class, there are people telling them that they can't do it, all athletes, and maybe not all, but a huge majority are told that they can't. They're not going to make it. And
right. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
that's, I was just going to say, they're stereotyped, and it's sad, but if they just keep that one class at a time attitude, I believe that they can do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's why, man, it's crazy because everything happens for a reason. Everybody you meet adds to you, whether if you learn to stay away from them or you learn to spend more time with them. And I just think it was crazy how I met you at a time in my life to where I was really confused. I had some ideas that maybe I wanted to do, but ultimately I had been put in a major that I had knew nothing about, that didn't even know it was a major, didn't even know I had declared for a major. So that being said, like you say, athletes all being told that we can't do it, and maybe that's the connection that we had as a person, and then other athletes had that same kind of relationship with you, because, like, as a woman growing up, you guys had the feminist movement. You guys needed kind of just like how the blacks were fighting for their civil rights, you guys were fighting for equal rights as well. So that could be like that barrier, that connection, because we're so used to fighting for what we want and being stereotyped. Like, as a woman, you guys' role was to just stay at the house, learn how to smoke some cigarettes, and, you know, just take care of the man, like, at home. But you knew it was more to you than that. So that's why you continue to fight and ultimately continue to soar. So the point I'm trying to make is, don't give up. Don't let somebody stereotype you. Like, because I remember talking in your class, Linda K, about stereotypes. And that's something that the whole class got so passionate about. And I think that's what's happening in America right now. Because you got these kids that, like, that's being shot, whether they're white or black. But right now everybody's talking about the black kids getting shot. But if you were to ultimately do your research, I want to say last year, 300 and something white kids got killed by the police. Vice versa, then there was only a little over 100 of black kids got shot by the police. But right now, I feel like there's the black youth is getting so, we have a stigma of being thugs. And I never knew this until I hired your class, Linda Kane, that most white women look at black men like that, like, we're going to rape them, you know, or just come at them negative. Like, I never knew some of the stuff that people thought about black men until I had your class. And that was opened my eyes so I can see things in a different way, different aspect, as you could say. So, Mr. K, I want to know how you feel on, like, or how we can stop, like, the stereotypes. We understand that it's always going to be there.
I think that you need to know that I didn't know what young black men thought about old white women until I met you. I learned so much in my classes. Here's something I'd like to say about the issue that's the problems right now with black youth being shot. The there are people all over this country so filled with hate right now, and here's what I'm hearing over and over and over again. If I'd been that young black man, I'd have done blah, blah, blah. If I'd been that white policeman, I'd have done blah, blah, blah. And everyone seems to think that they would have behaved differently or they could fix it or whatever. And I want to say one thing before I get into stereotypes. I can't be a young black man. You can't be an old white woman because we're not. I can't even be a young white woman because they're raised in a different culture today. So before you think you know what you would do, before you think you, I mean, I think most of it's about fear. Most of the killing is about fear. Everybody's afraid, and that's about stereotypes. We're taught to hate, and we're taught that stereotypes are true. stereotypes, by definition, are a group of a are a belief about a group of a whole. I'm sorry. Stereotypes, by definition, are a belief about a whole group of people. So you know that that's not true. I know that that's not true. You can't say anything about a whole group of people and have it be true. But we're taught them from the time that we're young. And, yes, we're taught that black men are rapists. And, yes, we're taught that all old white women hate young black men. And how to fix that, the only way I know is education, is being around each other and making an effort to let other people get to know us. It's hard. It's very hard. On a campus, a college campus is a great place to be able to mix generations and races and have it be better. But it's tough, and it's tougher on the street.
Right. I completely agree. It's really tough because, you know, with stereotypes, they're believing that everybody is the same. Because when you're growing up, like majority of times, whether you're white, black, Mexican, you kind of you they teach you to stick to your own. That other people won't really understand or recognize what you're doing. So then, if you're fortunate enough to come to college, and then you understand there are different stereotypes. Not only are there this color barrier stereotypes, but then you got the fraternity stereotypes, the frat guys, and you got the black fraternity stereotypes. Then you got the athlete stereotypes, and then that separates from basketball, football, men's basketball, girls' basketball, football. Then you got to worry about those stereotypes. It's like I have an athlete in my class, but he's not a football player, so he's going to do his work. Or I have a baseball player in my class. We know they come from a strong household. He's going to do his work. You know, because then, so what you get here is there's stereotypes within every level that you get into. But just like you said, it's through education and trying to get to know one another is how we can stop this. Because this one thing about Dr. King, like he said, love conquers all. And eye for an eye will leave the world blind. And if people out there that's listening, If you go back and do your research on Dr. King and watch his speeches and look at the compassion, no matter what was going on back then, Dr. King used to get locked up. He used to get sprayed with water hose. People used to tap his phone lines. But every time he spoke with love. He spoke with compassion. He wasn't out there trying to retaliate with violence. And that's what gets me today. You got Reverend Al Sharpton, and these other black activists, when they're giving their speeches, you can tell they're giving it with hate. And they're stirring up the people. And it's making us feel that hate. And then it's ultimately that hate is coming out of us, whether it's subconsciously or consciously. But actually, it's killing our community. Because I'm at work the other day, Ms. Linda Kay, and I'm helping this older white lady out, and she's just laughing and giggling, but the TV was on CNN. Once they started talking about the Ferguson case, her whole demeanor changed. And all of a sudden, me and her didn't have that kindness between the two. It was just like, okay, just finish doing what you're doing, and I'm going to get up out of here. So that's what I'm trying to say. That's how it's affecting us everyday people, because I feel like right now, just like you said, everyone's full of hate. And everybody just, if I was him, I would have done this. If I was him, I would have done that. You know, so I just feel like love, man. We just need love, right? How do you feel about that, Ms. Larry?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think Dr. King would have said peace. He absolutely, you know, he trained with Gandhi in India. And part of his peaceful approach to demonstrations was because of that. And both of them accomplished so much. And when I remember the day he was killed. So I live in a town now where much of the work was done early on. He called the place where I live right now, which is St. Augustine, Florida, he called it the most violent place he'd ever been.
Wow.
And So the history here is here. The place, the streets he walked, the church he preached in, it's here, and it's awesome to see it, and to it's horrible, and it's great at the same time. He was so loving, and so determined, but there were people who were impatient with him, and that's where Malcolm X and the Black Panthers and the groups that were more aggressive came in, because they weren't patient with the approach.
Yeah, like that's pretty much the problem, and because a lot of people don't realize the stigma that Dr. King had to go through, because you did have those Black people, like you said, like Malcolm X and the Black Panthers. Well, I can't really say the Black Panthers, because the first of the Black Panthers was strictly, you know, those were college kids, 21, 22, who decided to try to become our own police within a community, in which they were nonviolent. But if you came to them in a way of like trying to, with police brutality, that they got studied the law. And once they studied the law, they realized what the police was doing was breaking the law and what they could do to defend themselves in a legally right. So what they did, I feel like at the beginning of the Black Panther Party, it was cool. But like you said, when people got impatient, then you had the other people trying to take in or come in and get violent, thinking that they going to really make some noise. But we know here in America and in this democracy that's not how you get things done. But let me tell you, as a woman, I know it's different coming up and trying to be successful and climb the corporate ladder, right?
Right.
Okay, so I got my fiance, Sabrina. She wants to ask you a few questions of how you can make it as a woman and still keep some dignity. So go ahead, Sabrina.
All right. Before I start asking you these questions, I did want to say thank you for being a brave, strong woman. And you made a big difference already, and I haven't even met you, and you've already made an impact in my life just by what you said on this show.
Thank you
Thank you. And through the experience with Peter, he would always come home and talk about the things y'all discussed. And I can see a change in him. I could see the light bulb go off. And thank you for letting him come to you. And what you do for just him goes farther than just him. It just goes down the line. And it just helps everybody. And we just need to keep that positive going and keep going further. So thank you again. But to this question, how can you as a woman make it as a corporate ladder and still keep your dignity? Because I know just through my experience, men almost expect certain things from women just to move up corporate ladder. Like we owe something to them even though we work hard.
Right. And that's a battle we've been fighting as long as I can remember. And it's better, but it's not close to being okay. I've been in meetings in corporate meetings where it seemed as if the style of the meeting was he who shouts the loudest wins. Just whoever could yell over all the other guys in the room was the winner. And women, most women, aren't reared to that kind of behavior. We're taught to take our turn, to be more cooperative. And there was a time when women believed the only way they could make it in the corporate world was to be to act like a man. Dress like a man, wear a suit, but it has to be a female suit, but wear a suit. Talk the same way, act the same way, walk the same way, do everything that men do if you're going to succeed. Now I think we've come around to believe that women can succeed in their own style. A lot of that depends on where you are, physically, in the country. If you're in a place that is more backward in the ways of women's liberation and feminism, then it's going to be tougher. And it will happen, but it's going to be slower, and that part of the country still hasn't caught up with some of maybe the more forward-thinking places. I wish I had a magic answer for you. You're in a good place. I believe you're with a great guy. I'm happy, happy for you guys that you are fiancés. Just hang in there, you know, both of you.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is, but if you keep your faith, you can get through anything.
And there are going to be days when it's going to feel like you can't do it. And
right.
that voice in your head, that Will Smith voice that they were talking about, well, goes on, you can't do this. Why are you even trying? You're a woman. You can't do this. And
right.
And yet, you know, yes, you can. But there are going to be people. There are going to be men trying to stop you in the corporate world because they're threatened. They're afraid.
Right.
Man, I'm afraid. I can tell you that. I mean, you women have just came, like, right now, especially in the rap industry. I don't know if you still listen to hip-hop, but, like, the women are taking over. You got Iggy Azalea, you got Nicki Minaj, for the people on the East Coast who still listen to gangster music, you got Remy Ma, who just got out of jail. You know, when she's coming in, and everybody's coming out with this positive outlook. And I really feel like the Eric Garner and Mike Brown, these situations, the celebrities are taking it and they're using a powerful message, because back in the early 90s, you had this gangster rap and different kind of R&B groups trying to be gangster, talking about how they used to sell drugs, how they used to rob people. But here's the thing, Linda Kay, this is how the society is changing. Because those guys who used to rap about that stuff, they worked their butt off to get out of the hood. But now their kids are becoming rappers. Now, like, their sisters are having little kids, little mini IQs, little mini NWAs. But listen to the case. These kids nowadays aren't talking about selling drugs, or I'm going to kill your mama. You actually got some really good music out there. But it's like the ones that's really positive, like Lecrae. He had the number one rap album, and he's a gospel artist, Linda Kay. So I think, which brings me to my point, I feel like the world is so stuck in the 60s as far as race and as far as hip-hop and music. I feel like our country is stuck in the 90s. Like, you're talking about, well, if you see a black dude with tattoos with a do-rag on walking down the street, I know you will not be afraid, because they see us walking down the street, but we're actually walking to your class. You know what I'm saying? Not going to go rob somebody. We're trying to go to school. We're trying to go to class to better our future. Yes, we might look like a thug, but we're farthest from a thug. You know, and I got this acronym. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you got to define thug. You know, what in my old lady white world, thug means gangster, but it means somebody with a gun is going to kill me. And
right.
And yet, in a younger world, maybe it just means a way to dress and somebody who's cool, and it has nothing to do with all those old stereotypes. And I don't know that thug is a good example for that, but it's the closest one I can come up with right now.
Yeah.
But it's those guys who walk on the campus and they're dressing like they looked to be tough in high school because they were afraid.
That's what I'm thinking. Because sometimes out of 10, you see it on the news, like this thug was this rap is a woman or this thug. You know, it's like you don't even really know that person. That could be the first time they got into some trouble, but that just might be how they dress. But I'm going to tell you what thug means to me, Linda Kay. Because ultimately, I think I'm a thug, and I'm going to really raise my son to be a thug. But if you listen to what I'm going to say, you're going to get it. And I know you'll understand it, Linda Kay. But a thug to me means a true hero under God. That's a thug in my eyes. So if you're out there, if you're serving God, you're doing what's right, you're not letting your socioeconomic
status right now, define who you are, and you're trying to go to college, you're staying positive in the community, you're giving back.
I mean, to me, that's a thug. That's a true hero under God. Don't let somebody tell me that I'm a thug because I'm out here trying to be, because I'm out here, well, not trying to be a beneficial citizen to the community. You know, you can call me a thug all you want because I know what it actually means to me. I'm a true hero under God, and I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to keep believing because positive things happen to positive people. Word.
I think that's awesome. Now I want to grow up and be a thug.
Baby, because I'm a thug. Well, all right, Ms. Linda Gates. It's going to be the conclusion of the interview. I just have one question that I want to ask you, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, so what would you give the 22 to 23-year-old that's going to the spring semester? Like, what some things, if they're an athlete or not an athlete, what some things that they can do to try to set themselves up for the next chapter of their life? Whether that's trying to get an internship somewhere, or if they want to live outside the state of Texas or outside the state where they're going to college, like, should they start applying for jobs now, or should they wait a little closer upon to the completion of graduation? Or, like, what some things that they can do to help set them up for the next chapter of their life?
On the Texas Tech campus, and I'm assuming on Texas, on campuses all over the United States, there's a career counseling center, and they advise that during your freshman year, you start going to career fairs just to get used to it, just to have your face be familiar to the recruiters and network in the community. I think networking within the business community, and it's difficult to do. Lots of them don't have time for people who are young. But if you keep, you know, start as young as you can, and sometimes you don't even know who you want to be when you grow up, especially if you're a freshman. But by your senior year, hopefully you're headed in that direction. I'm prejudiced. I'm an educator. I would keep you in school till everybody got a PhD. I know that's not reasonable. I understand that. But you can learn. You're still learning when you go to work. You're still learning. You're learning with what you're doing right now. And so education.
I hear you. Education. Yeah, but I was just out there listening right now. Linda Kay is a former Texas Tech sociology professor who right now retired, her and her husband, and moved to an island, St. Augustine, Florida, living a good life. But she actually did step onto a college campus until she was 40, and then she ended up staying positive, getting her degree, and now she's affecting more people in the world than she probably even knows. But she just gave some advice for the 22 to 23-year-old about to graduate college, or whether it be 20 or 21. She said, go to the career counseling center. But you actually want to start when you're a freshman, because most people don't know where they want to be when they're a freshman anyway. Sometimes you don't even know who you want to be when you're a senior. But she said if you get your face familiar to the recruiters, so then once that time comes and it's almost time for you to graduate, they have a face to the name. Because it's better when you present your resume for you, they can see who you are, not just see the words on the paper. Well, all right, Mr. Gates, it's really been my pleasure. Hope you had a wonderful day.
I will, and love you guys, and I will talk to you later. peace on Lubbock, Texas.
Peace on Lubbock, Texas.
Bye.
Well, hi, Ms. Linda Kay. Have a wonderful day, okay? All right, bye-bye. I know Ms. Linda Kay Larrabee. She's native out of Jinx, Oklahoma. With ultimately being our connection, because I'm from Muskogee, Oklahoma, and she decided to be my grandma and help me just to stay positive and keep my nose clean. And no matter what I was going through, because I had a really tough time there for a while here at Texas Tech, I was in a really dark place, and I would just go to her office, and we would just speak. I was just talking. We just had that connection and bond, and she just kept me with positive positivity and
no matter how bad I thought I was doing in life, she would speak to me and keep me calm in a way of basically not giving up. And there are different students just always coming in and out of her office, whether they're athletes or whether they weren't athletes. You had students who didn't fit in with society. When I'm talking about, you got some gothic, you had some gay, some straight people. Everybody came into her, and she made everyone feel comfortable. And it didn't matter what color you are, didn't matter what gender you were, your sexual preference, it didn't matter. She treated everyone equally. So, but if you were disrespectful, then, you know, that's a whole other story. But if you came in with respect and you needed somebody to talk to, that's like a pre-counseling session right there. Okay, so everything happens for a reason. If you're going through the dark, just remember this. You can't see the stars while it's light outside. You can only see the stars in the dark. So adversity introduces a man to himself. So if you squeeze the orange juice is going to come out. So if you get squeezed, the real you is going to come out. If you're a little boy, you get squeezed, and that little baby boy is going to come out. But if you're a dog, then that dog is going to come out. So with that being said, I'm not going to take up too much of your time. No matter what you've done, what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. My name is P. Richardson, live on Blog Talk Radio. And this is the P. Richardson Morning Show. Yeah, just like that, talking to G. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Different short day, same short time. Everybody have a blessed day. Peace.